Sturgeon's Law, number 90. It's got things.
90% of everything.
That may be the stupidest thing I've ever heard of.
Is crud.
You're listening to Sturgeon's Law, the podcast that keeps you up to date on the 10% of everything that isn't crud. Check out the show notes at www.sturgeonslaw.com, and you can find the music used in this show at the Podsafe Music Network and magnatune.com. Now, here's your host, Random.
Welcome back to Sturgeon's Law. As the man says, my name is Random. Here is the show. Let's get started.
In the next episode of Vindicatum, Diana has a chance to settle an old score.
Does this have anything to do with the dark side situation?
I'm not sure.
What dark side situation?
We think he's trying another takeover. You in?
A chance for retribution? I wouldn't miss it.
Tensions rise between the superheroes.
Batman kind of sent the Arkham villains to Apocalypse while the new asylum was being constructed.
You cannot be serious. That is a serious lapse in judgment. I would think you were incapable of making such a poor...
I would think you wouldn't spend so much time feeling sorry for yourself.
Enough!
Granny Goodness has plans for Kara.
Godfrey, you can be so dreadfully short-sighted. I don't know why I ever expect more from you. We must watch and wait for now to find the appropriate time to strike.
Of course, Granny. I would never doubt you.
You would be dead if you were. Nay, we will wait and see. Our Lord Darkseid has always enjoyed a good fight. He will enjoy her spirit. He will enjoy breaking it.
And in the battle between Lex and Ares, sides are chosen.
If you've ever wanted to put this human here in his place, then join me. We'll paint the walls with his blood.
Issue 29 of Wonder Woman, Champion of Themyscira, Episode 2 of Vindicatum, premieres June 18th, 2008, only at Pendant Audio.
So I'm a big user of all things Google, right? Gmail, yes. Google Calendar, yes. Google Reader, check. Google Doc, absolutely. Google Notebook, well, no. Not anymore, that is. Not since Steve of the Wicked Good podcast turned me on to Evernote on a day where I could land an invite code to their beta. Not that Evernote is new, exactly. It's existed as Mac and PC applications, I believe, for some time, but that didn't interest me, as I use several machines, and I need to be able to get to my notes from all of them equally well. That's why the version 3 beta got my attention. It has a web version as well, and if you use the application versions, which I do, they synchronize with the web-hosted central version, giving you something that is and is not a web app, but at any rate is synchronized across multiple locations. And compare this to Google Notebook, which is a web app and only web app, which is fine until you're not on a network and want to dig into your notebook. There are other upsides as well, though. Evernote handles images very nicely, and even more impressive, can search text in the images through, one assumes, the magic of OCR or some such. This turns out to be more than just a pretty gimmick. It's really darn useful. You can also encrypt notes, which is pretty cool, of course. And also there's the obligatory tagging, but also saved searches, which I quite like in principle. You can embed checkboxes in your notes to make, well, checklists. And indeed, this is how I do project lists now, and it's a real boon. Are there downsides? Yes, of course. I'm very frustrated by the lack of a Linux application, for instance, particularly when I'm on my blessed Asus E. Yes, I can go to the web-based version if I'm on a network, but that kind of defeats the whole portability point of using it on the E. Plus, the web interface is not so great in my opinion, and it wastes an enormous amount of screen real estate, which is of course a scarce commodity on the Asus. The Windows app has some occasionally quirky behavior, but nothing you don't get used to eventually. But it does work very solidly, and the features are excellent, worth finding someone with an invite. Final comment on this, my notes for the show were of course typed and stored in Evernote, among many, many other things.
Hey, if it's crud, don't bring it round here. You're listening to Sturgeon's Law.
I've discovered Plurk.com, and believe me, saying Plurk out loud makes it all worthwhile, so give me a moment. Plurk, 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 plurk. Okay. Anyway, what is Plurk, you may ask? Well, more or less, it's a competitor for Twitter, I suppose, conveniently rising in prominence about the time that Twitter is having downtime struggles. Again. But it's not just a clone by any means. Plurk has a unique presentation of messages, putting abbreviated forms of them on bars on a scrolling timeline that, to be honest, I really can't quite describe and do justice. Additionally, it has excellent features Twitter lacks, such as a permission system whereby you can make subgroups of your friends and lock messages to particular groups. For another example, instead of users forming a convention for replying to posts, like happened on Twitter, Plurks have comment lists almost like blog posts built in right there. One more thing that really sells it for me is the very simple thing of auto-updating the page title with unread message counts, making it easy to just leave Plurk open in a tab in Firefox, for example, and glance at the tab title for new messages, instead of pounding reload on a page all day or however it is you use Twitter. Sure, this basically means that Plurk was made by learning from the lessons Twitter got the hard way, being first. But so what? It works. Will it survive enormous usage in a way Twitter hasn't so much? Time will tell, if the question even arises. It certainly has some negative press on occasion because of its karma system, which gives you certain glossy features like more emoticons and jazz like that, based on how much you use it and how many people you invite. And that's not really keen with people who have been burned by Facebook et al. Anyway, it's had occasional downtime due to the speed at which they're developing, but it has been brief and seems to be getting very rare. So Random says, check it out. I'm R. Francis on there, as usual.
I've got to stop that mechanical nightmare.
Nick Mamatas, who's been interviewed on here a time or two, and whose books Move Underground and Under My Roof I continue to wholeheartedly recommend, has a new, well, publicly new at least, service available for writers, aspiring and otherwise. Let me quote you some scanty details from his LiveJournal post on the subject. Quote, anyway, here is how it works. If you have a manuscript, I'll read it for a mere $2 a page, mark it up with insightful and hysterical marginal comments, write an extensive editorial letter, and have a conversation with you over phone, IM, or email about revisions and marketing. And from his fact, quote, you email me at nick.mamatas@gmail.com asking for the service. We talk about your goals and a deadline. I give you my address and you ship to me your manuscript in standard manuscript format along with half the fee. Then I meet your deadline and send you the manuscript back, email you the editorial letter, and then we talk about your work some more. Then you send me the rest of the fee. Some of you might know that Nick is also the editor at Clark's World Online magazine, and having submitted a story there and gotten his critique back, I have to say, it's amongst the most useful rejection letters I've ever gotten, up there with Gordon Van Gelder of FNSF at least. And I wasn't paying him for that. Many, many people have reported the same. So I have to think that Nick is offering something really beneficial here. Yes, to send him your 500-page fantasy epic, you're going to have to cough up a grand, but cripes, getting extensive editorial input from a professional? That's gold if you're trying to beat the hoi polloi in a publication. Anyway, something that might interest some of you, and if I direct some dollars Nick's way, well, we all go home happy. LiveJournal link is in the show notes. Don't want to get the episode done without congratulating Geek Acres host Doug Rapson on leveling up into a new decade, which I believe means he can now reasonably adventure in some awesomely tougher areas, such as the infamous zone Midlifia. Doug, just watch out for the level cat, buddy. And that's the end of the show. Sturgeon's Law is a Random podcast, produced, performed, and otherwise perpetrated by me, R. Francis Smith, and is covered by the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 license. The website is www.sturgeonslaw.com. Email me at sturgeonslaw@gmail.com. Call my Grand Central number at 405-334-4311. That's 405-334-4311. But whatever you do, make it shiny. Pax Vobis.
This is a different thing. It's spontaneous, and it's called wit.